Okay, well, hello everybody. Welcome to CoreLite's Spiritual Weather Report call for August of 2019. And I'm really happy to be with you as always. It's delightful to hear your voices as you call in. And as many of you know, I've actually seen many of you this summer here in the U.S. It's been delightful to be traveling around and having events in person again. It's been so many years. And so we're just, if I haven't come to where you are yet, or if for some reason I haven't seen you, I just want to share with you just how delightful it's been. It seems like we're all having a very joyful CoreLite reunion by getting together physically again. And I also know we've got quite a few new people on the call. And I know, most people listen to these calls after they're finished. So I just want to welcome all of you. Welcome, whether you're new to CoreLite or you've been around for a while. I love gathering with everybody monthly on these calls because it gives us a chance to reconnect. And especially because Leslie is with us. I just talked to Leslie, who's in South Africa. As I said, I'm in the U.S. right now. And I just spoke to Leslie for about an hour this morning, U.S. time, evening her time. And she's doing so well, and we just laughed and laughed and laughed. We managed to to work ourselves up into a really joyful state, and I'm just so delighted that she's surrounded by people who love her and are there. I know Kellyanne and Kathleen and our friend Dave Durkee from Denver is there visiting with Leslie now. They're all sitting in the living room listening to the call, and Leslie is going to be sending us Shakti, which if you're new to CoreLite, Shakti is the healing energy that Leslie transmits through her eyes and her hands and her voice. And anybody who had the gift of being around CoreLite for any amount of time got to experience that. And the truth is, what we know is that at one level of reality, there is no such thing as time and space. And we all can feel that Leslie is with us, even though we're separated by great distances physically right now. And in fact, as I've been traveling around this summer, that's been one of the things that everybody's commenting on, is that it just feels like Leslie's right in the room with us. We go into a meditation and that Shakti energy is right there with us, just like Leslie were with us in the room. So anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. I want to share some more about that with you before we start the call. But there are a few things I wanted to say first. One of them is, in the conversation I had with Leslie, I asked her if she had a message for all of us. And she said, yes, she wanted, I'm getting my notes out here. I took some notes. She said she had a vision. She was given a vision, of all places in the kitchen. She said there were several people in the kitchen and, busy cooking and talking and working and so forth. And she was shown three faces, three women's faces. She said they were etheric faces, sort of like cherubs or angels. And they gave her a message. And I know, again, if you've been around CoreLite for any period of time, you've heard us talk about this message. But in case you're new, I'll share it with you. And for those of you who've been around, it's a little bit of a reminder. But these, Leslie felt it was very fresh and new because these angels essentially appeared to her and spoke to her in this way. She said it was a very upbeat message. It was very good news for the world. They told her that big changes are coming. The old world is finished and a new world is birthing. The message, the upbeat message that they gave is that we're going to start seeing very clear signs of it very soon. Humanity is opening into higher consciousness. This is the ascension. It's the shift of paradigms. And we're all moving from this level to another level of consciousness. The guides told her that they can feel that the whole planet is struggling and people are feeling very weary, and there's still so much that needs to be cleaned up. But the old consciousness, the third dimensional consciousness, is coming to an end, and we are quickly moving into the fourth and fifth dimensions. And the last thing she said was they did not give her a sense of the timing, but they did say it's coming soon. So coming soon to a planet near you is a new paradigm of heart-centered consciousness. And I know, you know, for most of us, we're aware of this, and it doesn't take much nowadays to just, you just have to scratch a little bit below the surface to see the signs of a new paradigm of heart-centered consciousness being birthed in the world. And this is really what gives me hope, because the truth is, you know, so much of what we're shown in the media and so much of what people talk about nowadays is the bad news, the negative news. It's as we all know, it's a very destructive cycle that we're in. And old ways of being, old systems that don't work are coming to an end. And there's also so much destruction of nature, and so forth. So I feel like it's very important that we focus on this other aspect, that along with the destruction is the birth of something new. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about it later in the call, but I just thought I needed to share that with you because this was a profound experience for Leslie, and she really wanted everybody to hear that that happened for her. Before we go into the meat of our call, and we always start with a guided meditation for about 20 minutes, and then we have a little time for a spiritual message, and then we have time for questions and sharing, and then we always close with a prayer or another guided meditation, depending on how much time we have. So before we jump into that, I wanted to just mention a few things that are really, really exciting for me. And I usually do this at the end, but I can't wait, so I want to share with you now. Last weekend, if you're not aware, last weekend was officially the launch of Core Light's new website and also of my new book. And if you've been around for any period of time, you know that this has been a long time coming. We've been talking about the new website for years, actually. And I kept saying, oh, it's going to be any day now. Finally, I stopped talking about it because it was dragging on so long. But I'm really excited. We've gotten so much positive feedback about our new website. So if you want to go check it out, if you haven't had a chance to yet, it's corelight.org. And I'm very pleased with it. It really reflects a new vibration and a new birthing of Core Light, because as most of you know, we're going through a lot of changes. We've been in transition for a long time. And so it feels like this is a pivotal moment for us. And also I'm excited about the launch of my book, because I've also been working on that for years. It's called Living with Enlightenment, A Journey of Love. And it's really, I wrote it as an honoring of Leslie. It's really an honoring of my beloved partner of 27 years now, and her 30 years of enlightened teachings that she's offered all of us. And I just wanted to record some of our stories. I actually was not planning to write a book. I started writing stories, and I realized that each story would be a chapter of a book at some point. So it's out there. You know, you can get it on the Core Light site. You can get it on Amazon.com and other online sites and bookstores. It's available. So I've been offering it at the events that I've been leading in the U.S. this summer. And so it's already been out there for a little while, but it's officially online now. So I feel excited. And thank you for sharing that with me. And thank you for those many people have given me positive feedback. So I thank you for that. And so this is our kind of a celebration call for me. It feels like the birthing of something brand new for me in Core Light. And Leslie, I just want to mention a couple of events that are coming up, and usually I would do this at the end, but I want to do it at the beginning because the events in Reno, Nevada are actually less than 4 weeks away. I'm going to be in Reno, Nevada, and offering an event on Wednesday night, September 18th. And there'll also be an all-day intensive on Saturday, September 21st. We may also add a Thursday night. We're not sure yet, but you can stay tuned for that. You can check your email and check our website, and we'll have more information. And then also quickly, the details of these events are going to be put up on the website really soon. Right now it just says hold the dates. But we've already picked the times and the venues and everything. So any day now, any moment, the flyers will go up online and you'll get to see the details. So again, Reno, September 18th and September 21st. Santa Fe, I'll be in Santa Fe October 11th and 12th. It's a Friday night and a Saturday. And then Albany, New York, I'll be there. The actual events are going to be Thursday evening, October 24th, and all day Saturday, October 26th. So stay tuned for that. If you're coming from out of town at any of those events, the main event will be the all day Saturday. So you don't have to attend both. You can come for just the Saturday if you want to do that. Also, we're having an all-student conference, so if you're in the Spiritual Warrior course or you're in the Enhanced Self-Discovery course or if you're a graduate, you are invited to join us for the all-student conference on Friday through Sunday, October 18th through 20th, and that's virtual, so you can join from anywhere in the world. Again, October 18th through 20th, it's a Friday evening through Sunday in the U.S. And lastly, I've planned 3 sacred site pilgrimages for next year, and I hope you'll join me if you feel called. We're going to be in South Africa in March. We'll be in the UK in May, and we'll be in Greece in October. So tune in and see if you feel called by a divine invitation. And if you feel called, then just relax and know that the time, the money, the resources, whatever you need to make it happen will show up. That's how these things work, because a lot of people write them off and just say, oh, it's too much time or money or whatever, I could never come. And that's not true. It's only true if you believe you're a statistic, and you're not. So please tune in. And I'd love to see you. These pilgrimages to these sacred sites overseas are profound and life-changing. So tune in and see if you're meant to be with us in South Africa or the UK or Greece next year. So before we begin our guided meditation, if you've been on these calls, you know that there is a transmission that comes with the calls. We do talk, of course, and the words are important, but by far the most important thing is the transmission of energy. Leslie is tuning in with us, and there's a transmission of Shakti coming from Africa to all of us, and it doesn't matter if you're listening to the call in the future or if you're on the call live with us today. You're getting the transmission either way. And we invite you throughout the call to be meditative. That's the key, is just to relax and receive. So it's a perfect time to just let go and allow yourself to receive the energy. It's a field. We're all part of a field of love. We are all connected. Time and space do not really exist at this level. They only exist in the third dimension. So we do invite you to tune in to these other levels of reality beyond time and space. We're all connected there in love, in the heart, in the unity consciousness, and we will all be receiving this transmission of light that comes through. And we're all participating in this field, and we're actually generating it together. So whether you're with us live, whether you're feeling it or not, it doesn't matter. It's still happening. And I invite you now to just relax. If you're multitasking, which I know sometimes is important during these calls, I invite you right now to just pause for a few minutes to stop multitasking and just join us for a guided meditation. You can take a few long, deep breaths and just get comfortable wherever you are, sitting or lying down. Be as comfortable as you can while keeping your spine as straight as you possibly can. And again, we start with some long, deep, spiritually cleansing breaths. Just breathe in the light and breathe out any tension or stress you might be feeling. Breathe in the present moment and breathe out any worry about past or future. Breathe in relaxation and breathe out any shadow. Feel and visualize a warm, viscous liquid pouring over the top of your head like honey and relaxing every muscle that it touches. Feel your scalp and your forehead deeply, deeply relaxing and letting go. Feel it pour over your eyebrows and into your eye sockets, allowing your eyeballs to just drop back into their sockets and relax, completely letting go of any tension or stress you might be feeling around the eyes. We have so many hundreds of little tiny muscles all around the eyes, and we tend to feel stress there. So just consciously let go and relax your eyes. Feel this liquid pouring over your face and relaxing all your facial muscles, the nose, the cheeks, the mouth, ears, chin. And especially feel the back of your tongue relaxing. When we can relax the back of the tongue, we relax a whole region of the body, the back of the head and the neck, the shoulders. So just allow that whole region to relax by letting go of any tension in the back of the tongue. Feel your shoulders and your neck relaxing deeply, letting go. Your upper arms, lower arms, wrists, hands, and fingers, letting go of any tension, just feeling the stress drop away as you relax every single muscle in your body, breathing in deeply, breathing out long and slow, relaxing your chest, your upper back, your torso, abdomen, lower back, your pelvis, buttocks, and especially the hip flexor muscles that run down the front of the hips. We tend to hold a lot of tension there. So put a bit of focus there and feel that warm honey, just soothing and relaxing any tension that you're feeling in your hips. Relaxing your upper legs, the thighs, the hamstrings, your knees, your lower legs, the shins, the calves, your ankles, feet, and toes. Deeply, deeply letting go and relaxing. Remember your breathing, long, slow, and deep, and just breathing in the light and breathing out any stress or tension. And now I'll be quiet for a moment or two and just scan your body from head to toes, releasing any tension you might still be feeling in any part of the body, breathing light into those areas and breathing out any shadow. Let's put our attention now in the root chakra, which is at the base of the spine, at the perineum. And feel how the root chakra opens and relaxes just by putting your attention there. And then drop your grounding cord down into the earth, all the way down to the core of the earth, wrapping your grounding cord around the core of the earth, commingling your energy with the earth energy, and just feel how grounding and nurturing this is to be connected to our Mother Earth in this way. Put your attention on the parts of your body that connect with earth through the seat of your chair or the soles of your feet on the floor, wherever you happen to be touching something solid. Just become aware of that connection and be with it. Feel gravity pulling you towards earth and how Mother Earth supports you from beneath with so much love. Feel how you can just let go and relax into her embrace and feel her cradling you like a little baby cradled in the arms of its mother. So just let go. Just completely relax and let go. Let go of any worries, let go of any stress or any tension, and just sink in to this gift of the present moment being held in the arms of the mother. Feel that deep, deep surrender. Just go yin. Yin is receptive, passive, surrendered, letting go. And allow this beautiful shakti or healing energy penetrate you. Allow it to come in and do its healing work on you. Just receive. Some people say that enlightenment is really just a very, very deep relaxation. And sometimes we forget in the stress of our world how important it is to take these moments occasionally to just relax and let go. So give yourself this amazing gift right now. just these few moments that we have together to be at peace. Be at peace and be surrendered and just let go. It's a beautiful energy coming in today. Beautiful, luminous, golden white light pouring down from above. Beautiful Mother Earth energy pouring up from below. So consciously now, pull the earth energy up through the soles of your feet. You feel that anchoring, grounded quality coming up into your body, healing and balancing you. Draw it up through your legs, up to the root chakra. And draw the energy up your body, up the core of the body, also known as the Sushumna, which is that luminous core of light that runs right in front of the spine, at the core of the body. Feel the earth energy moving up your core, up your Sushumna, healing and balancing each chakra as we move past the navel chakra, the solar plexus chakra, the heart chakra, the throat, and up to the middle of the head and the third eye, and up and out the crown chakra. So let's put our attention right now on the crown chakra for a few moments. And if you're not familiar with the chakras, that's okay. The crown chakra sits on the top of your head like a crown that a king or a queen would wear. And feel it opening up like a funnel, up and out above your head. Like a thousand-petaled lotus unfurling its petals one by one. Feel it opening up and up and up. And it's okay if you don't feel it. Just set the intention that you would like to, and one day you will. And if you're not feeling it, that's okay. Just visualize it for now. But see and feel it opening up. And feel a golden white light raining down from above. A beautiful, warm, golden white light filling you up. Feel this beautiful luminous energy filling up your aura and your body. Feel every cell of your body like a miniature sponge soaking up this light. Trillions of little sponges inside the body soaking up the light. Just filling you up with a beautiful divine energy. Filling you up so much that the light fills up your arms and your hands and your fingers. So much that the light starts to shoot out your fingertips. And it's filling up your legs and your feet. So much that the light starts to shoot out the tips of your toes. So while you fill up with this light, allow it to happen while we talk. Filling up relaxing and letting go. Feel how you're being filled up from above, the energy of Father Sky, Divine Father. And feel how you're being filled up from below by the Divine Mother energies of the earth. And this is the balance of masculine and feminine inside us. And feel how the heart is the center point between the two. It's the place where we feel the love the most. It's the center of the body. And it's the meeting place of heaven and earth, the physical and the non-physical. So while you hold your attention there in the heart, and while you feel these two beautiful energies from above and below filling you up, I'm going to say a brief prayer and an invocation for our call today. We call on the Great Spirit, Divine Father, Mother, Self that we all are. We call on all the angels and archangels, the gods, the goddesses, the lineage masters, all the beings who surround us in the highest love and support. And I invite you each now to silently call on your own guides and teachers, your lineage masters who you know support you. Invite them into this call. We invite you all in. We ask that you please surround us in a beautiful cocoon of golden white light, surrounding us with love and healing energy. Guide our conversation into the highest love and wisdom, filling us up completely so that we may know our wholeness and so that we may go out into the world and share this beautiful love and light with everyone we come into contact with, making this world a more beautiful place. At a time when it's so needed, we're deeply, deeply grateful for the support of the invisible realms, and we're especially grateful for this opportunity to share this time together, to share our love, to share our hearts, and to be in this beautiful field of oneness. Deep, deep gratitude. Aho. So when you feel ready, slowly bring your attention back into the room and back into your body. And if you like, slowly start to wiggle your fingers and toes. And when you're ready, open your eyes. Excuse me, I'm just going to take a little drink of water here.
Thank you, Brad. That was wonderful.
Thank you, Melody. And I'd like to take this opportunity to introduce you, Melody, to everybody on the call.
Sure.
I think you know most people, and most people know you. But yeah, if you're new to Coralite, Barbara is usually the one who's hosting us. And today it's Melody because Barbara is away and unavailable. And so I'm deeply grateful to you, Melody, for stepping in and helping.
Oh, that's lovely. Thank you. My pleasure.
Thank you. Good. Good. So, gosh, there's so much to talk about. And when I was in meditation this morning, I was sort of tuning in on what to share, and it was very clear. I wanted to talk with you all about something that happened to me between last call and this call. As I mentioned earlier on the call, I've been traveling around the U.S. offering these in-person events, and the event that I did in Boulder was called Living Joyfully in Turbulent Times, Embodying the New Paradigm of the Heart. And I actually, just before that event, I got an email from somebody who was kind of, I'll summarize, the email was kind of saying, well, you know, how can we really be talking about joy and about love with all that's going on in the world right now? You know, are we ignoring the shadow, essentially, is what it was saying. And so I just felt like this is a really important topic to address. You know, if you've been around Core Light for any period of time, you know that nobody can accuse anybody in Core Light of avoiding the shadow, because this has been, you know, this has been what Leslie taught for 30 years, is literally how to work with the unconscious, how to make the unconscious conscious, how to look at what we call the shadow aspect. And when we do that, it opens the heart. You know, we're essentially clearing the basement out so that we can open up into a new level of love and joy and higher consciousness. And so I feel like, you know, just because we're talking about love and joy does not mean that we are denying or avoiding the shadow. And we are not, certainly not doing what's called spiritual bypassing, where you ignore the negative side. I know that many people in the world right now are depressed, and many are cynical about the state of the world because of what's happening in government all over the world. It doesn't matter what country you are in. There's, you know, there's corruption, there's greed in governments and corporations. You know, it's everywhere. And it's been this way for thousands of years. It's been this way for 6,000 years of patriarchy. And, you know, that's changing, as I talked about earlier on the call, and as most of you know, that we're opening to a new paradigm now. But it's not happened. I mean, it's not fully here. We're just birthing that new paradigm. And it's going to take, you know, maybe a couple of hundred years. I know that's my intuition, and I've heard many psychics and seers and people who I trust, teachers that I trust, say the same thing, that it's going to take, this is a, you know, thousands, we're talking about thousands of years of an age. And so we're looking at a couple hundred years of a time of transition. And we are at the very beginning of it right now. We're literally seeding this new paradigm. And that's why it's such an incredible time to be alive. You know, as souls, we chose this time because it's so extraordinary. It doesn't mean it's easy. It's actually maybe the hardest that it's ever been for most of us, because we're having to face so much shadow and so much challenge. And, you know, we can get to a point. It's actually easy to get to a point where it feels like it's naive to talk about love and joy and to find forgiveness for, you know, what we perceive to be, one could say evil, or, you know, destruction, or whatever you want to call it. But this is our path. This is why we incarnated right now. It's why we're here, is to walk this path. And how do we do that? That's the, you know, where, how does the rubber meet the road here? How do we do that? And I feel like, you know, one of the key messages that I wanted to share today, and this is really what we talked about at the Boulder event, is that part of the turbulence of our times is that we don't understand that our ability to respond with love is the thing that actually transmutes the turbulence. It's literally our ability to respond to the turbulence. The response, it's our responsibility to respond to the turbulence with love, because that's what does the transmuting. So I want to just name it really clearly. I know we talk about this from time to time, but we've never really named it in this specific way very clearly. And I just want to do that because, you know, because I got this email and because I was approached by a few people on this topic to say, you know, let's make sure we're not ignoring the shadow. Let's make sure that we're not being naive. And I guess I'm here to say that there's no way that if you're doing this work that we teach at Corelight, that you're being naive. You're not doing spiritual bypassing because you are looking at the unconscious. You are looking at the reality of this third dimensional world we live in and the challenges we face. You know, at that level of reality, at that third dimensional level, it's very real. And yet, we know quantum physics tells us, and all the ancient spiritual traditions and mystery schools tell us that this world is an illusion, that this world, you know, looks real and feels real, but it's 99.9% space. And when we die, when these bodies drop away, we return to the truth of who we are, which is pure essence and pure love. And so here we are in this system that looks so real and where we feel separate from nature and separate from each other, and we can feel not love. It's actually a miracle that we get that experience of not love and of separation, because the truth is that that's all there is love and connectedness. So here we are as souls choosing this extraordinary time to wake up. To wake up to the truth and the reality of who we are and what this world is actually made of, which is love. And wow, boy, are we've chosen, you know, the greatest challenge we could possibly choose. So I feel what's important to mention, you know, on this topic is to talk about our anchors in these times. And some of the anchors that we have to have in place if we're to get through and manage okay is knowing spirit, number one, knowing the truth of spirit. And number two, understanding the process that we're in, which we're talking about now, understanding what this is about, that as souls, we've chosen to come in and have a great learning and a great experience. And when it's all said and done, we can laugh about it. And it's not so funny in the moment when we're in pain or suffering. But that's why we have these calls, is so we can remind each other the truth behind it is the love. And we also, one of the anchors is witnessing. If you've been around Corelight for any amount of time, you know about the witness. And we talk about it almost every month because it is the key. And Leslie wrote a beautiful, beautiful chapter in the Marriage of Spirit book about witnessing. So if you haven't read that in a while, I highly recommend it. The witness is the neutral observer. It's the part of us that watches with detachment and with neutrality to the emotions that pass through, because that part of us knows that we're not the emotions, that we are the pure awareness. We are perceivers. Through which emotions pass, through which we get to perceive we're having these amazing experiences. So witnessing. And then I think one of the main anchors is this recognition that how we respond to all of this is up to us. How we respond to this is our choice. It's not necessarily what the third dimension tells us. It's not what everybody else might be doing. It's what we choose. So when we understand that, we know how to manage our own human nature to transmute and to transform this reality. To transmute the emotions, to transmute the negativity, to transform it into love. And that's when we become a part of the solution and we're no longer a part of the problem. When we can understand that and when we can choose that. And it's easier said than done, I know, as most of us know, especially because we're swimming in this sea of mass consciousness, and, you know, we're all sharing thoughts in that mass consciousness, and we're like the fish in the water, we don't realize it. And it's so easy to believe that our thoughts are actually our thoughts, when in reality, most of them are not. Most of them are the collective thoughts. So that's a big one. If you've never heard that before, let me pause on that for a moment. I know for most of you, this is a reminder, but it's an important reminder. And that is, we are not our thoughts. We're swimming in this sea of mass thought. And because, you know, we're just one person, it feels sometimes like to hold on to our neutrality and to hold on to our truth of knowing that we are love is difficult when you're faced with a tidal wave of people who are in a different consciousness, most of the time negative, or much of the time negative in any case, especially with fear and with anger and depression, you know, things like that. So what I would say about that is it's so critical nowadays to practice the witness, to practice meditation. Those two things of all the practices, meditating and practicing the witness, is what really helps us to become aware that many of the thoughts passing through us are not even our own thoughts. And we can then shift back into our awareness that we are love. We are pure awareness. We are the perceiver. And when we're not in a high state of consciousness, and especially when we're in a place like a city, you know, we're going to be swept up in that sea of mass consciousness, and we're going to be feeling what everybody else is feeling and thinking what they're thinking. And we get lost in it sometimes. So that's why it's so important to do this work, to be meditating as much as we can, to be practicing the witness, to remembering that we are not our thoughts, and to be remembering especially that we are not the mass consciousness. And, you know, it does feel helpless sometimes to, you know, to when we think about, well, we're just one individual. What can we do against a sea of mass consciousness? And we all, if you've been around Core Light for any length of time, you know about what we call the power of one. And the power of one is where our individual change that we make can be exponentially powerful when we're vibrating at a very high rate, when we're vibrating at a state of love and forgiveness and generosity and gratitude in those higher states. When we're vibrating at those rates, the power of our thoughts ripples out into the sea of mass consciousness in a much, much stronger way, that has a much more powerful effect than any one individual vibrating at a negative rate, thinking thoughts of fear and anger and depression and so forth. So the more our consciousness is based in love, the bigger our wave. And, you know, because we're living in such chaotic times, the real question I think that we can all ask ourselves is, are we going to add to the mass consciousness with fear and, you know, projections and resistance, or are we going to transmute all that with love and understanding and a willingness to practice transmuting the world into love and forgiveness? So I feel the message, you know, when we ask ourselves that question, is the message is, let yourself be a light in the darkness. Let yourself be love in this time when there's such a lack of love. Allow yourself to practice joy when everybody else is in fear. I'm sorry, it makes me get choked up when I talk about this, because this is the challenge of our time. You know, this is why we came here, and it's not easy. But, you know, can you forgive when everybody else is so busy blaming and justifying their anger, you know, at governments, at corporations, at whomever? Can you be that person? Can you be that one to do the transmuting? And just, you know, I think we all need to remember, back to the original question I was asked in the email, this is not bypassing. We're not talking about spiritual bypassing and denying and avoiding. We're talking about living in love and compassion and forgiveness, because that is the solution to the tendency of human consciousness to go into fear. And fear, especially fear, is contagious. How many people have been in a room or a car when something seems dangerous and you just feel a wave of fear passing through? And it's contagious. It's very easy to get swept up in. And the truth is that today there are plenty of fearmongers out there. And it's the fearmongers that have the world at their fingertips, especially with the media. You know, the media whips up fear. The media loves to whip up fear. And if you're corresponding to fear, then you're being controlled by the fearmongers, and you're corresponding with the fearmongers. You're not corresponding with your own highest vibration, which is love. And the easiest thing in the world is to follow the mass consciousness. You know, everyone's afraid, so I have to be afraid. And what we're essentially doing here by choosing something different is rebelling against the mass consciousness. We're doing something different. So that's why we're all on this call together, because at some level we know that there's got to be a better way, that there's got to be a better way to live, a better world to live in. And the solution is to respond with love and faith in the divine, trusting in our own highest path instead of the fear. So every day, every moment, it's about practicing love as much as we possibly can. It's about maintaining a consciousness of heart-centeredness, which includes things like compassion and gratitude and generosity, empathy, all those wonderful qualities of the heart, the higher states, the higher vibrations. And this is our protection. Our protection is in what we think, and it's in our language. It's how we speak every day. It's in everything we do. It's in our actions. So when we can be thinking and speaking and acting from that place of higher vibration and from love, that's how we protect ourselves from what else is going on in the world. When we protect our own higher consciousness with the way that we think and speak and act, we don't fall into the density being mostly made of fear, but also the other negative states, you know, anger and separation, blame, division, depression, all of that. So in the midst of the chaos, it's absolutely and completely possible to be in love and to be in joy through the loving, because that's how it works. When we live in love, joy is birthed out of that. Joy is the highest outpicturing of the spiritual journey. So just because of the turmoil and the chaos of the earth, And even in the midst of all of the stuff that we're going through, it's entirely possible. And in fact, I would say this is why we incarnated at this time as souls, is to come and have this great challenge, this great experience to practice love and joy in the face of it all. And that's the transmutation. That's the transmutation. That's the gift. Like, as we do that, you know, we're not only having a wonderful time, but we're doing our part. You know, when we worry and when we join in the fear brigade, we're not part of the solution. We're part of the problem. So again, there's absolutely no danger if you're doing what we call the shadow work, if you're doing the work of making the unconscious conscious, as Leslie so beautifully outlines in the Marriage of Spirit book, there's no danger of denying, ignoring, avoiding shadow. We deal with shadow when it comes up. You know, we practice, we use whatever tools we have, whether you like the Marriage of Spirit tools or whether you do family constellations or emotional release work or Reiki or meditation or taking walks in nature, whatever you like to do to name the shadow and release it, that is the practice right now. So we deal with it when it comes up, and otherwise, just stay in the love and the joy. And I feel like that's kind of the answer to the, you know, when I answered the email, that's what I essentially said was, you know, for 30 years, Leslie taught this stuff. And for many of us, it's been decades of working with shadow. And I feel we're at a new and different time right now. It's really, really important that we stay up in the higher vibrations of love and joy. It doesn't mean denying, as I said before. What it means is you stay there. And yes, when shadow comes up, you deal with it. But otherwise, just enjoy being in your loving, joyful self and share that with other people. And that's the greatest gift that we can give the world right now, is our own awakening. And that is our awakening, when we can stay in love and joy. So let's see, it's almost time to open up the microphone for sharing and questions. There were a couple more things. I just wanted to share a couple more things before we do that. I know what I wanted to talk about. This was one of the questions that was asked at the Boulder event when we talked on this topic, and it felt so important to talk about because somebody said, you know, this is all great to talk about this stuff, but the practice of it is so hard nowadays. You know, when you hear about terrible things happening in the world, you hear about, you know, maybe the situation with refugees or the destruction of nature or the suffering of certain people or animals or nature or whatever it is, you know, you hear about these things. How do you deal with it? What do you do? If you're just in love and joy, that's not very helpful, is it? That's kind of the question. So this is the way I look at it, which helps me. And maybe if you have other ways, you can share with us on the call today what your way is. But the way I look at this is there's a difference between, you know, if you see somebody suffering, they're down in a pit and they're wallowing in pain or suffering of some kind. The greatest gift you can give that person is to reach down into the pit and pull them out and bring them up with you into the higher state. It's not helpful at all to jump into the pit with them and wallow around in pain and suffering. It's not going to serve them and it's not going to serve you. It might actually feel good for a moment because you might think that you're showing empathy and compassion and they might feel they have a companion. They're not alone. But it doesn't last very long, and you're drained of all your energy, and then you can't help them at all. So it's like when you're on the airplane, and the flight attendant says, if there's a decrease in the cabin pressure and the mask comes down, you put the mask on yourself first, and then you help the person next to you, the child next to you. So this is a topic that I just wanted to touch on. To me, it's really important. It's a very interesting topic because we're talking about compassion. We're talking about empathy. And this is essential for our times. We have to feel the empathy and compassion for those who are suffering. And we have to be willing to reach our hand down into the pit and help them out. And that can look like so many different things. You know, if you feel that you need to go to where the refugees are and physically help them with food or medicine or whatever, or just comfort and love, that's your path and you go do that. Or if you feel you need to volunteer at the animal shelter once a week, then you go do that and that's what you do. Most of us nowadays, if you're on this path, you're practicing putting your love into action. Most of us on this call, I would bet, have some form of putting your love into action. And it's critical that we get off our meditation cushions from time to time and put our love into action. You know, Leslie and I and most of us at CoreLight started doing this work 20 years ago when we started Seeds of Light and we started helping the AIDS orphans in South Africa. And it branched out to we started doing a lot more work with uplifting the entire community when we realized it was a lot more than just AIDS orphans, that it was an entire community of people who were suffering and needed help. So we started doing that work. And that's been the most gratifying work I think we've ever done in our lives. It has brought us so much joy and opened our hearts so much to be able to do that. So I know most of us on the call, you've had that experience too, that it's incredibly gratifying to go and offer selfless service, to offer your heart and your resources to those who are in need, critical for our times. And this leads me to the last point before we open up the microphones. I want to talk for a moment about selfishness versus selflessness and self-care. I feel like we've all been taught as children that selfishness is bad. And that has been drilled into us for so long and for so many lifetimes. You know, we could talk for hours about this, so I'm going to have to summarize. And if you've been on these calls at all, you've heard me talk a few times about what we call the religious lifetimes. There have been many, many religious lifetimes where we all practiced self-abnegation, self-denial. You know, it was believed that through suffering, we would go to heaven. Through suffering, we would become good people and we would purge ourselves of sin because we're born sinners and we need to purge ourselves of that sin because we're bad and wrong. And, you know, this is just sounds so ridiculous when we talk about it nowadays. It just sounds like a big scam. But it was the belief of those times, and we had those lifetimes. And even if you don't believe it now, you either have that karma from your own lifetimes like that, or you're swimming in that sea of mass consciousness where many, many people still believe that at some level. It's a collective belief in original sin. And even if people say, well, I don't believe in original sin, or they're not religious at all, there is a core belief at the heart of humanity that we are worthless, that we are sinners, that we are bad people because we are selfish. And like I said, you know, most of us are taught this in school, but especially if you were brought up in any religion, you're taught that. So I feel like if we're running that program to any degree, it is really going to sabotage our efforts of helping other people, of staying in love and joy. Because in order to practice our selfless service, we have to practice self-care. Self-care is critical. So to do the things that we know are good for us, that build our energy, whether it's exercise or meditation, eating right, getting a massage, being out in nature, doing yoga, being with our community of, people who we aspire to be like, people who are on a spiritual path, people who love the earth, people who practice sustainable practices. This is our, Leslie used to call it keeping the company of the holy. And when you're around like-minded people like this, it's very uplifting. And that's part of our self-care, is to be around people who we emulate. So I'm not going to talk too long about it because I want to make sure we do have time for questions and sharing. But just to close with this point, that it would be a great exercise for each of us to, in the next month until we meet again, to make it a point of witnessing and journaling your own thoughts around what is selfish, what is selfless, and where does self-care fit in for you? What are your thoughts and attitudes about all of that? So I leave you with that as an exercise. And one final exercise. How do I say this? The final exercise we can each do this month is to write about what you project onto, who do I want to call this? Pick a politician, pick a person, maybe a CEO of a corporation, whoever it is that we tend to project onto and blame for things. So just write three or four things that you project onto that person. Or maybe it's an entity. Maybe it's the banks, or maybe it's the government, or whatever. So three or four things that you project onto them. Once you've written those things, then write down when you have done this very thing. So in other words, when you've gotten caught in ego, or when you've responded with anger instead of compassion, or when you've done something to hurt someone else, when you needed the people around you to perceive you in a certain way. So those are the things we put on the people we blame. Whatever it is, we do have it in ourselves, and it's critical that we see it. It's only a matter of degree. It might be that the person who's in the public eye is playing it out to a large degree, and maybe in yourself you only see it in a small degree, but that is important, that you name the small degree that you see in yourself. So anyway, I'll leave you with that. Those two exercises are powerful things we can each do in the next month. So Melody, would you like to share with everybody how we each, if somebody wants to share or ask a question, how they do that, please?
Yeah, just a reminder, press *2 to raise your hand. And if you're on the web, you can write a question in, and I am looking at the web, so I'll bring those up also. And thank you for those good reminders, Brad. That was great. As I was just myself going through, I just picked Donald Trump, for example, and I thought, okay, when I was in the hospital the other day, I could have been more compassionate with this particular patient I was working with, and so it was good. It was a good reminder. Yeah.
Good. Yeah, for all of us. I mean, we've heard these teachings for how many years or decades now, and yet until we're able to really practice them all the time, it's always good to have the reminder.
Yeah, and there's subtle, very subtle layers for all of it, too. Some of it, like you said, some of the public folks do it on a very grand scale so we can see, so all of us can see it in fine relief, but we may be doing very subtle, much more subtle ways of the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
All righty. Let's see if we've got any hands up here. Okay. Last name is Hodil, and I will unmute you. I'm sorry, I don't, some phone number from San Rafael, I don't, you have the mic. I don't see a first name.
Yes, thank you. This is Christine.
Hi, Christine.
Hi, Christine.
Hi. I'm just inspired to share a little something. As soon as the call started, that relates. For me very much with everything you're saying, Brad. So I sat down next to my altar. I have two singing bowls on the altar, and it's wooden table. And I have my speakerphone on the table. And all of a sudden I realize that one of the bowls is singing from your voice. And it just keeps going and going. And then I had this aha moment, which is that one of the bowls is singing and the other bowl is not singing. So to me, because I see things as a metaphysician and physics and the body and the energy field, is that for some reason the one bowl was compatible and reacting and being impacted by your voice. The other bowl was not. And so it's like us, right? It's like, why is one person so impassioned by frequencies being brought about in the world and another person is not? Or why one day are we resonating and not resonating another day? So I'm just noticing and pondering the actual physics of vibrational exchange and excitation. And how when things bother me in the world, the first thing I do, thanks to Leslie's teachings from so long ago, is I ask inside and say, why am I reacting to this in this way? And it's never about being wrong or right. It's just simply, what's resonating with those frequencies? Why? And how can I choose to resonate or not resonate with what I'm seeing? So what you were talking about forgiveness, so if I'm really angry at a politician, I know I have the choice of what to do with that anger that arises. So the first thing I do is pray and ask for clarity and say, okay, what's inside of me, how can I hold this more in love? Because that's my intention, to develop more and more my loving, allowing capacity in a way that still allows me full bridled expression and follow through with what I want to do with what's happening. So I just wanted to share that because I thought that was just pretty funny that today of all days that and with fun bowl.
Yeah. Yes, it's a beautiful example, Christine. Thank you for sharing that. There's a physics principle called entrainment.
Yes.
And it's the principle of, you know, the tuning fork, that if you walk into a room where there's a piano and let's say you hit a tuning fork that's vibrating at C, then the piano chord C, the key of C will start to vibrate. And so it's the same with us, with our consciousness. If we're vibrating at those higher rates of love and joy, then we tend to resonate with other people who are vibrating at that rate, right? And we can actually easily tune into it. And if we're vibrating in fear or anger or the lower states, then we tend to get swept up in the sea of mass consciousness very easily. So I love your example. It's perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. And, you know, I work with sound, too, so I have an affinity with that. So maybe just a suggestion or just, you know, what I find is really good for me when I feel triggered is besides just looking at it and deciding if I want to process it or whatever, you know, start singing, start laughing, sound yourself, and then, you know, listen to something beautiful. And that can shift as well.
Yes, I don't know about anybody else. I find myself almost every day trying to find some excuse to sing.
I love it.
If I'm in the car, I'll just, you know, turn on one of my favorite songs and sing along. It just changes the vibration immediately when you sing, right? And you transmute
and
all that energy.
Yeah, it's an app. Of life.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah. Thanks, Brad.
Thank you, Christine. Thanks for joining us today, and thanks for your sharing.
Pleasure.
Melody?
Sorry,
Melody,
I muted myself. I don't see any other hands right at the moment. Let me go to the back side and see if there are any questions. Ellen says, thank you for your impassioned talk and meditation, and the lovely receiving of relaxation is so rare and needed. And
Ellen, yeah. I just want you to know I think about you all the time, and I'm keeping in my thoughts and prayers. I hope you're doing well. And I know Leslie is too.
Yeah. I guess I'm just going to put a plug in right now for any of you that don't know that we have a prayer list. If you're not on it and would like to be on it, you can let Corelight know or let me know. My email is durgama07@gmail.com, and we can add you to the prayer list. It's pretty active. We usually have about once a week, and if not more, prayer requests. So we hold prayers for all kinds of situations around the world. Okay. Looks like Annika, I hope I'm pronouncing your name right, or maybe it's Anika. You've got the mic.
Hi, this is actually Lindley Solari. Can you hear me?
Lindley. Yes, we can hear you.
Brad.
How are you?
Oh, Brad, it's so lovely to be able to drop into these kinds of sharings these Sunday mornings. This one I have really loved.
Thank you.
I just wanted to comment on the selfish, selflessness kind of dialectic. And I have been someone that has been struggling and so welcoming your calls about the dark night of the soul because I've been struggling with a very difficult relationship for the last, it's been like 4 years, that involves the instinctual response of a mother needing to care for a child who is ill. And, you know, that there's so much unstated there about what a mother's role for a child is and has to be. But it has caused me, in this instance, when I'm reaching my hand down into the pit, so to speak, I wind up in the pit more often than not. And,
right.
And
I hear you.
And the request to find your own joy or allow yourself to be in joy or in the higher vibrations seem antithetical to that, to the need to respond. And it also seems impossible. But in the work that I've done in just the last few years, it has become clear that rather than feeling obliged to follow that inner the inner command, or the inner, it's not even a command, it's some kind of law that you're supposed to meet the needs of another person. These kinds of things may come from those early religious teachings you spoke about, where we're supposed to meet another's needs. That's what you're supposed to do. And even if it means you're suffering, that doesn't matter. The higher call is to be responsive to that need. I have just recently been able to hear that that's not what's asked actually of us, that there is within our inherent makeup the natural capacity to just follow the divine flow, to just listen in any given moment to where the divine wants you to move and what kind of response is true or in alignment at that time, rather than this overlay of having to automatically respond to someone else's need. And it may be that responding to the need is what is asked in that moment, and often may be, but not when it becomes compulsive or when you yourself are falling into the pit of suffering. So I just wanted to share that in that meandering sort of way. Thank you.
Oh, it's beautiful. No, Lindley, you're sharing such an important point. And I feel like what you're talking about applies to all of us. It's about discernment. You know, discernment is one of the high spiritual qualities that we develop as we walk this path of awakening. With discernment, you know whether that person, whether you're able to help that person or not. You know, sometimes people actually are in the pit suffering and they don't want to come out of the pit, right? Have you met those kind of people? Like they're suffering and they really enjoy their suffering at some other level of their being, and they won't let themselves be helped. You can, you know, somebody like that, you can pour your energy into as long as you want and it will never fill them up. And what will happen is you'll come away drained and they'll feel great. But it's in those instances that, you know, you can then choose whether or not it's in your highest good and their highest good for you to help them in that moment or not. If you've got a pattern, you know, an egoic pattern that tells you you have to help everybody, it's compulsive, as you said. I think that was the word you used. It was compulsive, obligatory to help them, to help other people. Then, you know, you'll occasionally do okay, but occasionally you won't. You'll lose all your energy. There's, you know, codependent relationships that we have. And I would say, you know, especially this is for those of us with a strong feminine side. It doesn't matter if you're in a man's body or a woman's body this time around, but if you've got a strong feminine side, the tendency is for you to be a compulsive giver, where you're just meeting everybody else's needs and you're not thinking of your own needs. Am I speaking correctly to you, Lindley? Is that
totally on target?
Yeah. And it's true for most of us. You know, I include myself because I'm a man with a very strong feminine side, and that's been my pattern, is to just give and give and give to the point of overgiving and depletion. And I've learned more recently about self-care, and I've learned about how, you know, it doesn't really serve us. In order to be of the highest service, it has to serve everybody. It's got to serve not just the people who are receiving the gift, but it's also got to serve the giver. And then it's a true gift. Otherwise, it's something else. And I feel like that's a path that many of us are walking right now, is that path of discernment and knowing when and how to practice our selfless service and when and how to practice self-care and when and how it might be considered selfishness, you know, something that's more selfish than selfless. And where is that line? I've heard many people talking about the new paradigm of heart-centered consciousness as a paradigm where the focus shifts in us. It shifts from service to self into more service to others. And I believe that that's true. I believe in the new paradigm, we have a place of balance. We've found the place of balance, and it's generally like most of the time we're more focused on service to others. However, it's not at the detriment of our own care and our own highest good. So I think there does come a point when we've walked that path long enough and we've practiced our discernment long enough that we know where that line is. We know how to live a life of service to others without becoming drained, without falling into old patterns, maybe religious patterns or whatever you want to call them, but patterns of self-abnegation, self-denial, self-flagellation, you know, denial of our own needs. So anyway, I hope that helps. Is there anything else you wanted to share about that, Eileen?
No, that's basically it. It's just that discovering for myself that place inside that rises to meet the moment and knows about the peculiarities of the moment that is not the same as having this posture that you impose on a situation, like I have to respond to the need, you know. It's a very different thing. It's a living knowing part of our inner makeup that is who we are, that is equipped to make those discernments.
Yeah. And how's that going for you? Are you finding success with that?
I'm finding my way. I mean, it's not easy, but I'm crawling out of the pattern, yeah.
Well, good. I'm happy for you. I mean, it's critical. I feel like for all of us, anybody listening to this call, this discernment piece and the ability to practice the self-care that we need is going to be worth its weight in gold in our future. You know, we really are going to have this part down, you know. So it's a path that we're all walking right now. And I, you know, I'm happy that you named it, Lindley.
Thank you, Brad, for bringing it up.
Yeah, there's just one more thing I'd like to say about it. It feels really important. So let me just say one last thing about it. There's a polarity that many of us, you know, have lived out along this pattern that we're talking about, this egoic pattern. It's the polarity of the empath versus the narcissist. And essentially, my guess is, I'm just guessing, but my guess is that most of the people who are listening to this recording or are on this call today would consider themselves an empath. And even if you're not aware of it, you probably are an empath, meaning that you have great empathy for other people and you feel other people's pain easily. The tendency is that, you know, you tend to help people. You tend to jump into the pit and help people. And we're learning how to stand up on the top of the pit and reach our hand down instead. That's our path. But we tend, you know, if you're in that category, if you tend to identify with that persona, we can be the type that tends to invite narcissists into our lives. People who feel they're the center of attention, people who demand our attention, who demand our service. And so it's also important, I think, to name that polarity and to recognize if you are in a relationship or you have people in your life who are drawing on your energy in that way, it is not something that you have to live out if you don't want to. You can choose otherwise. If you are discerning that that's you, then you've got a path that you're walking of clearing that programming so that you find the balance. You find your path of being able to, you know, find a middle way where you practice caring for others, service to others, and you're also giving yourself what you need.
That's perfect. Thank you. I had just, that gives me another whole way of working with this.
Oh, good. Yeah. Since at Core Light, we do a lot of work with polarities, you know.
Yes,
if you
I'll do squares with that. Yes.
Yeah, we could all do a square on the narcissist versus the empath, the desire to be an empath, the fear of being an empath, desire to be a narcissist, fear of being a narcissist. That would be a good square probably for all of us.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd just like to congratulate you for working on this energy, especially in a family dynamic that is exquisitely challenging. So bless you.
Thank you, Melody.
Thank you, Lindley.
Yeah, thank you.
Great to talk to you. I hope to see you in Africa. Lindley's
so
feeling called to come. I'm outing you here. You're feeling called to come to Africa, and you're not sure if you can. So I hope it works out for you to join us in Africa in March.
Oh, thank you, Brad. Thanks.
All right.
Okay. We had just real quickly. We had someone on the web wanted me to just give the email to get on the prayer list. I'll say it again. It's durgama07@gmail.com. So that's D like David, URGAMA07@gmail.com. Or you can email Core Light office and they'll forward me the request. I staff the prayer list. Okay.
Thank you for your many years of volunteer service, Melody, for doing that.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. Okay, Linda. Hi, Linda. Nice to see you. Talk to you. You've got your hand up. Go ahead. You've got the mic.
I make this short. I thought that I had raised my hand before, and it didn't take, apparently. And it wasn't supposed to, because that last call, Lindley's, what she said and what Brad responded, was so perfect for me and what feels like the work that I'm supposed to be doing now. Everything just clicked into place. It's like a whole another lens just went plunk in the camera. Everything's way clearer than it was before.
Oh, great. I'm happy to hear that.
Thank you. And I'm still trying to decide about Africa too, and I know I'm pretty sure I'm going to do Greece. I'm very tempted about May, but I'm waiting for the guidance. I don't suppose I can do them all. We'll see.
Great. You're welcome to come. Love to have you.
I would love to do it. It would be very joyful, but it also seems like it would be very self-indulgent. So I have to work with that.
You have to use your discernment.
Yes, I do. What's selfish and what's self-care? That's tricky.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, thank you anyway. The wonderful call this morning. I've been furiously taking notes in a tiny little notebook that I had beside my bed. I don't suppose I'll ever be able to read one of these. Well, maybe.
Well, great to hear your voice, Linda. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you for doing these calls. I think they keep me sane, and they keep me hopeful, and yeah.
Oh, good. Oh, I'm so glad. It's my pleasure. Total pleasure. I love being with everybody. It's a great uplift for all of us, I think, to be together in this field of love. So important in these times, right?
Very, very much so.
Yeah, and I just have to say, it's just, I said at the very beginning of the call, it's been so delightful to be with everybody physically this year. You know, we've been doing these virtual calls for so many years, and finally, we're having in-person meetings again. And so I just want to say that to everybody. It was great to see you, Linda, in Portland, and Lindley, you in Santa Fe, and everybody else. It's wonderful to see you. And, you know, I love these virtual calls. They're wonderful. And there's nothing that replaces the physical, being able to give each other a hug and look in our eyes and, you know, mm-hmm. say, I love you.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you so
well,
much.
You, Linda.
I have tears in my eyes, but I feel very complete with right now.
Okay. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Well, I don't see any other hands, but let me take a quick peek. Oh, let's see. I'm not seeing anything. Let me look in the Q&A again. I'm not seeing anything, Brad.
Okay. Well, this is the last chance, everybody. We're almost wrapping up anyway, but last chance if you had a question or sharing with your opportunity. And if not, that's okay, too. We'll wrap up. We'll have a little final prayer and end a little early today.
Okay, I'm not seeing any takers. Yeah. Right.
Okay, great.
Oh,
well, it's been...
I lied. Jan, let me unmute you.
Okay.
Okay, Jan, you've got the mic. Hello.
Jan, are you there?
Jan, you may be muted on your side.
Hello?
On your phone. There you go.
There you are. I can hear you now. Jan, we can't hear you again. Are you there?
Oh, I'm here. Could you hear me?
Now we can hear you.
Okay. I just want to share a prayer. I so relate to everything, and I could say so much, but I just want to share this letting love flow.
Please.
And it's, we now have 100% desire that balance and wisdom prevail as the cornerstones of becoming, so that we open our hearts no matter the pain. And with compassion, I own my soft parts. And with compassion, I expose my underbelly so that I am fully present for the awakening of all. We now have 100% desire that love and light prevail as the bedrock of life so that we rise together.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely.
Beautiful, Jan. Thank you so much.
And I like the definition of, we're talking a lot about compassion, and the literal meaning of the word is to walk in equal step with.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not trying to fix anything or change anything. It literally means to bring our presence to whatever is happening.
Yes. Beautiful. Yeah, calm.
So thank you, everybody.
Passion.
Yeah.
With passion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Compassion, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Jan. And I just, let me take this opportunity to say to everybody, Jan is the one who invited me to come to Reno, Nevada in September. So thank you, Jan. And I'm really looking forward to coming and seeing everybody there, meeting new people and seeing our old friends again.
And we are looking forward to it, too. Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have gotten a couple of of emails from people saying, I went to the website, to the Corelight website on the events page, and it still doesn't list the details for Reno yet. And that's true. We haven't got the details up yet, but they're going to be up any day. The flyer, it literally just got completed today. So we'll be putting all of the details about when and where in Reno and how to sign up and all that stuff. So stay tuned. You'll get an email soon if you're on the Corelight list, and you can also just go to the events page and check it, and you'll see it soon.
Great, so and I had a little family reunion yesterday, so it was massive cooking and preparation. So this is I'm going to get back to you with some of those details. It's my priority.
Okay, great. Well, we've got the basic ones down, so we can announce it. But yeah, we'll wrap that up.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Brad, we do have one more hand.
Okay, all right, that's fine.
Get on her, unmute her. Melina or Melina, I'm not sure how to pronounce it. You've got the mic.
Hi, guys. Hi, Brad.
Hi, Melina.
Hi.
How are you?
It's all right. I have my ups and downs, but I just wanted to share. Over the last 2 years, I've been enrolled in the Spiritual Warrior program. And in the meantime, I also started a tantric path, which is more of a kind of working with a pattern, what you guys did with Leslie. And more what I'm seeing is that meditation and daily clearing is the root of everything. In my case right now, I'm very lucky to be actually in Vancouver and have a lot of support here, both from my partner and people locally, because I'm working through some birth trauma and also some parental kind of, ancestral issues. And it's quite intense right now, so I kind of went back and I pretty much purchased everything that I could get from the website just to get support and dive deeper even into Leslie's teachings, because it's been very intense since pretty much last spring. It's actually for quite a few years. And right now, for the last few months, I've been sleeping for maybe 3 to 4 hours a night. Basically, my energy body cannot relax because just so much is going through my system. And from all the intense emotions, there was a lot of heat in my body, so I started getting hot flashes. So basically, it's super, super intense. So I did get myself included in the prayer circle. I'm keeping my witness, but just so much energy is getting through. So I just wanted to kind of add to what everyone was saying, back to what you, Brad, was sharing a little earlier about the importance of holding your center. And it almost feels like around me there's people being disappointed with multiple spiritual teachers and whatnot. There's a lot of kind of unbalanced energy in my environment, not just me. My partner is going through his own stuff. He lost his dad. He lost his dog. He's selling his parents' house right now. His mom is probably going to die within a matter of months. Work is changing. They have a work strike. So there's a lot going on. So for me, it's even more critical, even with my own kind of challenges. Plus, my parents are also not doing well. So I can't really share with them how much I'm going through. So it almost feels like the whole world is calling me to actually recall how to keep a center in kind of the whole storm swirling around. So A, I'm reaffirming what you said from my experience. I mean, I'm holding my center as hard as it is, and I'm finding I'm getting help daily from everywhere, and it's still a lot to get through. So I just wanted to thank you all for sharing what you are, for just having this environment for support, and for Leslie for her teachings, and for you, Brad, to share with what you're going through, and for spreading continually her work and your progress and in your path.
Wow. Well, thank you, Melina. Thank you. And I just want to say I honor you deeply for walking this path. I can hear that you and your partner, you're both going through a really challenging time. So my love is with you. And you know, I think what you just said is so important for all of us to remember, and that is that, you know, when you're going through challenging times like this, you really need a mentor. You need somebody to help hold your hand and to help you to remember the witness and help you to, you know, to reach their hand out and help pull you up. I think most of the people on the call are either in the Spiritual Warrior program or have taken other courses with us or graduates. But if you're not, I highly recommend the Spiritual Warrior course for that reason. Because the Spiritual Warrior course, you can find it on our website. It's the first course that we offer, and it offers a mentoring program. So you're not alone. You've got somebody who can help you with a hand when you need it. And it's critical. It's critical right now to have that.
I am. Actually, I am. Thank you, Brad. Yes, I am. I just feel like I need a little more support, so that's what I said. I got all her teachings, and I'm just kind of plowing through because it's just too much for the body. And like you said, self-care, but when the body is out of balance, it takes time to bring it back. It's almost like the energies are out of whack.
Yes, it's true. Well, and I'll say this as well. It's interesting at every single event I've been at, and, you know, Leslie and I did this for years, we took a little poll at our events, and we asked how many people in the room are going through at least one major change in their life, whether it's, you know, change of relationship or job or house or money or health issue or whatever it is. Every single person raises their hand.
Yep.
And then we ask, how many people are going through more than one major change in some major area of their life? And more than half the people raise their hand.
Yeah.
So this is a time when we're all going through massive change. And there are two main things that we all need to be doing to keep our heads above water, and that is meditation. And it's doing some form of shadow clearing work, some form of what we could call processing or making the unconscious conscious. Those two things are really what keep us going, you know, and I would say the close third is to have a mentor, to have a friend, somebody or a community who can help you to remember your witness.
Yep. Thank you, Brad.
So, thank you, Milena. It's wonderful to have you part of the call, and great to hear your voice again.
Thank you. Lots of love.
Lots of love. My thoughts and prayers are with you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, I think we don't have any more hands. Let me check the web one more quick time.
Okay.
No, I think we're good.
Okay.
I think we are good.
So we have a little less than 10 minutes before the top of the hour. So we'll do a little ending guided meditation and prayer. And before we close, I just want to remind everybody, I'm going to be offering events. The events coming up are called Alchemy of the Heart, Uniting the Divine Feminine and Masculine Within. And again, it's Reno, Nevada on Wednesday, September 18th, and Saturday, September 21st. Saturday is the all-day intensive. In Santa Fe, Friday and Saturday, Friday night, and then all-day Saturday, October 11th and 12th. In Albany, New York, Thursday evening, October 24th, and all day Saturday, October 26th. There's also the all-student conference coming up, virtual conference. You can join from anywhere in the world, and we'll be sending an email soon about that. It's Friday night through Sunday, U.S. time, October 18th through 20th. So I hope you can join me. Oh, and lastly, the Sacred Site Pilgrimages. Don't forget, you're welcome to join us. In 2020, in March, we're doing a retreat in South Africa. In May, we're going to the sacred sites of Britain. In October, we're going to some sacred sites in Greece. So check those out and tune in and see if you're supposed to be with us. I'd love to see you there. All right. Well, and I want to thank you again, Melody, for hosting us today. So appreciate your help.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome.
And
lovely to be here.
Yeah. Yeah. And I want to thank our beloved Leslie, who is with us in South Africa, who's listening to the call with our friends there. Thank you, Leslie, for all the gifts that you've given us over 30 years. And thank you for your transmission of Shakti tonight, today. So let's close with a little short guided meditation. I invite you to close your eyes and get comfortable. Whether you're sitting up or lying down, please try to keep your spine as straight as you can. And take some long, slow, deep breaths. Breathing in the light. Breathing out any tension or shadow. Breathing in this beautiful transmission of love and divine energy. And breathing out any negativity, any worry about past or future. We take this moment to be present right here, right now. There's nothing else to do, nothing else to think about, just the present moment. This beautiful field of love that we're all sitting in and holding together. I invite you now to breathe it in deeply, breathe in the transmission that is coming to us from the invisible realms. Feel it surrounding you. Just go completely yin, which means receptive. And just allow this beautiful divine energy to permeate your whole being, your body, and your aura. And let's put our attention on the Shushumna, the core of light, the core of enlightenment that is within each one of us. And it's, you can see it and feel it. It's like a fluorescent tube of light that runs right in front of the spine. And it actually extends above and beyond the skull, goes all the way up into the cosmos. And it extends below the base of the spine, beyond the root chakra, down into the center of the earth. So put your attention on the Shushumna. Feel it in your body from root to crown. And just allow yourself to hang suspended from the top of your head. You can maybe imagine like a string or a hook or something that's helping you to remain suspended and weightless. Just feel yourself floating with the Shushumna as your core. You can visualize it and really see if you can feel it. Feel the core energy of your being, the core light, the center of your being, the core of enlightenment that is within each one of us. The truth is there's only one. It seems like there's 7.5 billion people on the planet. There are 7.5 billion cores. But in reality, there's only one. It's not a metaphor. It's a fact. It's a reality that there's just one. And we are all aspects. We are all emanations of the divine presence. But ultimately, we are all that. We are all that pure light and awareness of the core. So feel. Once you feel this, feel your connection with everybody on this phone call. Feel our unity of heart and mind, our oneness. It may be harder for some of you because you don't know everybody. It's easier for me because I know all of you. I know most of you. But just know that this is a beautiful family of light. And we are all connected at a soul level, whether you know each other or not. So feel your connection, feel your unity through the core. And visualize the luminous energy inside the core radiating out. It's getting wider and wider. It starts off about as wide as a thread and expands to be as wide as a fluorescent light bulb, you know, a tube. And it expands beyond that. It expands a few inches in diameter. Feel it inside of you getting brighter and wider. It's expanding inside of you and growing to encompass your whole body. Feel the Sushumna expanding its light, encompassing your entire body, your physical body. And then feel it expand beyond your skin and out into your aura, so that the Sushumna is bigger than your physical body. And you, your body, is contained within this beautiful, luminous cylinder of light that's growing ever wider. Beautiful energy. Just allow it. It's really strong today. So just feel it wrapping you up in this beautiful white light. And while you hold this space of one heart and one mind, your own unity consciousness, let's visualize and feel we are holding hands with each other in a circle. About 50 people on the call today and more in the future listening to the recording. So you can visualize the size of our group, maybe about 100 people or so. We're holding hands in a circle. And see in the center of our circle is the Earth, beautiful blue planet in our circle in the center. And let's all beam through the heart, beam this energy of the Sushumna into the earth. And as we encompass the earth with our beautiful light of our Sushumnas, we say a prayer for the earth. We ask that the divine light bless all sentient beings, all beings on the planet, all life, all humans and animals, insects, microbes, plants, elements, land, water, rocks, air, Mother Earth herself. We send our love and our blessings and we ask that our own awakening benefit all beings. May this be the end of suffering and the birth of a new paradigm of love on planet Earth. And so it is. We know that this is so. And we offer our deepest gratitude to be part of this amazing time on planet Earth and to have been given the gift of these beautiful, beautiful bodies for a few precious years, so that we can have this experience on such a beautiful planet. With deep, deep gratitude. And we give thanks to all the invisible beings who've been with us today, the beings from the invisible realms who've surrounded us in the highest love and light, the highest vibration. We're deeply grateful, and we're so deeply grateful for this opportunity to be together with each other today in this magnificent field of love and light. So deep gratitude and many blessings, everybody. I look forward to seeing you next month. And until then, all my love. Bye for now.